Good morning, and welcome in the name of Christ. It's great to have you joining us this morning. I hope you are well and enjoying all the blessings that God sends our way. This morning's text comes from 1 Samuel chapter 17, which is the story of David and Goliath. Many have said that the story of David and Goliath is a story of courage in the face of overwhelming odds. Courage. This is a virtue that we all hold in high regard. Maya Angelou once said that courage is the most important of all the virtues, because without courage, you can't practice any other virtue consistently. Well, I would bet that most everyone listening today is familiar with this story, especially if we grew up in the church. When we were little kids in Sunday school, we were all told the story of David and Goliath many times. This is one of those classic stories from the Bible that virtually everyone knows, even non-religious people. The first question that I always like to ask myself when I study some of these familiar stories that I've heard all of my life is, why is it here? Why did those early historians believe that it was important enough to include in our canon of Scripture? Of course, it's a good story, and everybody loves a good story. But the world is full of good stories. So what is it about this story that makes it important enough to be included in Holy Scripture? What is this story trying to teach us? And if this story does communicate some valuable principles to us, are they still applicable today? Well, I believe so. This is the reason why the Bible never becomes outdated, because it is the story of humankind's relationship to God and our relationship to one another. First of all, we must understand that the Philistines were one of Israel's most hated enemies. Archaeologists tell us that they were a fearsome people, well skilled in the art of war. At this time in history, the Philistines already were making iron weapons, while the Hebrews were still using copper and bronze. They had iron swords, iron for chariot wheels, and iron spear and arrow points. There are other historical accounts in this time period that tell us the Jews patronized Philistine blacksmiths for iron plowshares and other hardware. The Philistines were technologically superior to the Hebrews in several ways, and the Hebrew people had good reason to fear them. As our story begins, we are given some very eye-opening information about the champion of the Philistine army, Goliath. He was 6 cubits tall, which is just over 9 feet. If that wasn't scary enough, it goes on to describe the weight of his armor, which was about 5,000 shekels, or about 125 pounds. The average person could hardly walk in armor that heavy, let alone fight. Then it goes on to describe the size of his spear and its weight, and that his shield was carried by another man walking in front of him. Goliath was a giant of a man. Every morning and evening, Goliath issues his challenge to the armies of Israel. Why have you come out to draw up for battle? Am I not a Philistine, and are you not servants of Saul? Choose a man for yourselves, and let him come down to me. If he is able to fight with me and kill me, then we will be your servants. But if I prevail against him and kill him, then you shall be our servants and serve us. Now, this challenge has been going on now for some 40 days. The Philistine army was not in a big hurry to do war with the Israelites, at least not if they could solve this battle in a more expedient manner. War was expensive, and if only 2 men fought and this dispute could be resolved without a long, drawn-out battle, well, so much the better. Plus, I am quite sure that the Philistines had little doubt that they would win and that Goliath could handle anyone Israel sent out to fight him. Now, the young man David, having been instructed by his father to take food to his older brothers, arrived at the camp where the armies of Israel were camped. When David arrives, the armies are facing one another as Goliath's steps forward and issues his challenge. And David cannot believe his ears. No one is stepping forward to fight for Israel. "Will no one stand up to this uncircumcised Philistine?" David exclaims. Now, it has been suggested by some that David, well, being so young, was just not smart enough to be afraid, or simply too arrogant, or perhaps too ignorant to understand what he was getting himself into. Or perhaps, as the author states, it was because of David's faith in God that he was not afraid when most everyone else around him was clearly very afraid. And as David goes out to meet Goliath's challenge, he shouts out, "You come against me with sword and spear and javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord Almighty, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied." Goliath, seeing this boy coming out to meet him, was indignant. "Am I a dog," he says, "that you send out a boy with a stick?" This makes the story even better. It is as if the Israelites were saying, "We don't even have to send out our best soldier to fight you. A boy with a stick can handle the likes of you, because with God on our side, we cannot lose." And this boy, using only a sling and a stone, downs the giant Goliath. And if we read on, we are told that the armies of the Philistines react in horror when they hear that the impossible has happened. Their champion has been dispatched. So was David just an arrogant teenager who just got lucky? Or was God really at work in this? How much do we limit our own accomplishments because we spend all of our time psychoanalyzing, predicting, and calculating the odds for our success? How many times have you served on a committee in an organization or on a church board where someone suggested trying something new, and then everyone else spent all of their time and energy talking about all of the reasons why it would never work, instead of being willing to just give it a try and then include God in the formula? Jesus said, "If you have faith the size of a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, 'Be lifted into the sea,' and it will be done." David not only gives us an example of courage, but also gives us a good lesson in faith. David has no doubt at all that God will act in his behalf, because his cause was God's cause. And it was God's will to defeat the Philistines. He did not stand back with the others making excuses, but instead he stepped up. He went out and faced the giant and was victorious. So what problems, what giants are we facing in our situations today? What battles are we facing in our personal lives that feel overwhelming or even unwinnable? Have we made a plan? Well, I believe the first place to start is always to identify the problem. For the armies of Israel, Goliath was clearly the problem. His daily taunts had Saul's army shaking in their boots, and no one was willing to stand up and deal with the problem. Just like today, everyone stood back and waited for someone else to do it. But David identified the problem as being not so much this big hairy fellow, but rather fear in the ranks of God's own people. When David looked at Goliath, instead of seeing a problem, he began to see an opportunity. David saw a way to not only enhance his own reputation, but even more so, the reputation of God. When we are faced with a problem in our church or are given the opportunity of a new ministry, are we reacting like the Israelite army? Or are we acting like David? Do we see every opportunity as a problem, or do we see every problem as an opportunity? Are we afraid to act, waiting for someone else to step up, or are we moving forward in faith, knowing that God is with us and will help us? The second thing we should do is to rely on our own experience. Even as young as he was, David had experience in dealing with threats. He had killed lions and bears when they went after the sheep in his care. We also have a collective experience as a congregation. What battles are we facing as a church that are intimidating us today? Perhaps we should think back to when we faced a similar situation in the past. How did God intervene and help us to address the problem then? Reason, tradition, experience, these are all things that will guide us through the challenges that we are sure to face. We just need to focus on the experiences we have instead of the qualifications that we don't. The third principle we learn from David's story is to focus on the essentials and get rid of those things that are unnecessary or excessive. King Saul, who was a mighty warrior, tried to get David to wear his armor, but David found it heavy and cumbersome. Instead, he decided to stick to the basics and the things that he knew, his staff and his sling. When faced with a problem, it's always tempting to pay too much attention to other voices and to weigh too many details and worry about all the different possible outcomes. This can cause confusion and weaken our confidence. When trying to solve a problem, we should stick to the basics and keep moving forward, then leave the rest up to God. The fourth lesson this story can teach us is to not focus on negativity. Don't let the naysayers keep you from trying. Goliath didn't even see David as a worthy opponent or even a threat. "Am I a dog that you send a boy with a stick?" Goliath exclaims. As I read through this story, I'm amazed that David was even given the chance to meet Goliath on the field, since I would bet that almost no one believed he could possibly succeed. When problems arise, don't let the negative voices dominate. If you have ever tried something new in church or just tried doing something in a different way, that is often all it takes to bring on all those folks who can give you 100 reasons why it just will not work. I think it was a good thing that David listened to God instead of paying attention to what I am sure was a myriad of discouraging voices telling him that there was no way he could possibly succeed. Finally, this story teaches us to do our best and let God do the rest. Notice that David does not believe that the outcome is all up to him. We read that he tells Goliath, "This very day the Lord will deliver you into my hand." Mature Christians know that God can take any situation and work it out for good, so that God receives the glory. David believed this truth throughout his whole life, even in those times when God held him accountable for his own sin. Even in those dark days, he trusted God for the best outcome, and God did not disappoint him. We all have Goliaths in our lives, and they will all present a formidable challenge to us. But we must face them with courage, and we don't have to face them alone. God is with us, and while we should always do our very best in preparing to slay those giants, we must ultimately put our faith in God for the end result. Author Annie Dillard writes these words, "The people who have the greatest success facing situations of great risk in life often feel terrified as they are going through it. It's not that they are without fear, but rather they have moved ahead in spite of their fear. There's an old saying, courage is fear that has said its prayers. With David, that's the long and the short of it. And I believe it should be true for all of us as well, so that we may be salt and light. Amen."